We bid you welcome to the worship service here at Hebron Free Presbyterian Church. We gather in difficult circumstances, especially with the passing of our dear friend and colleague, Dr. Alan Cairns. We're here to worship God. We're here to fellowship the one with the other. I have an announcement that our announcement group has already received, but just to make this public to all, there were two positive cases of COVID-19 among our members whose results came through on Sunday, the 25th of October. Though we have not met in the building since, multiple cases have developed among our members. For the safety of our congregation, the session and committee have decided to keep the church closed to the public and allow positive cases to subside. Now, this will be monitored on a weekly basis. As you know, a deep clean has been carried out professionally. A fogging machine has been purchased for future sanitation. Services will be broadcast online as usual on Sermon Audio and Facebook. And we want to thank you again for your cooperation and understanding at this time. Dr. Alan Cairns went to be with Christ on Thursday morning. His funeral services took place yesterday, and these can be viewed online through Sermon Audio and also Facebook. I want to thank you for your prayers and your texts and your emails to the family, to this preacher, to those who are mourning at this time. The fruit of the Spirit in the body of Christ has been truly manifested at this time, and that's deeply appreciated in a time of great sorrow. Our sincerest sympathy to Mrs. Cairns, to Frank Whitney and their little family, to his sister Betty, to his friends and colleagues, and the congregations here in Ballymoney and Greenville, and to our mission fields. We're going to listen to a hymn, a psalm, the Psalm 34, God Will I Bless All Times, as we come to worship God. That's a good singing as we stand to sing. Let's really worship the Lord. That's a good singing as we stand to sing. Let's really worship the Lord. Thank you. think we owe you a short explanation. You discovered that was not the Psalm 34. We will hear that later on in the service. The other hymn that we wanted to listen to today is the one that you've just heard, and I think you've been able to get a time and a half of it. That's the providence of God, I'm sure, reminding us it's not an easy road that we're travelling to heaven, and I trust that that hymn will be a blessing to you. We come to the reading of the Word of God and our psalm for today, and it is the Psalm 39. Now let's listen to the Word of the Lord. I believe it's very appropriate, very suited to our congregation this day. I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. It's very easy to sin with the tongue, and many are the warnings that God gives to us in the Word regarding such a terrible sin. And so David, he vows to keep his mouth with a bridle, especially while the wicked is before him. Oh, may we take heed to our ways and sin not in this grievous way. I was dumb with silence. I held my peace, even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me while I was musing the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue. And here's another very, very appropriate verse of Scripture for us today. Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Will you not make that prayer to the Lord now, just where you are, just where you're sitting, as we think of the fragility of life and how short our time is in this world? Have not recent days reminded us of this very thing? Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days what it is, that I may know how frail I am, and then live, as we exhorted you this morning on the little video, with eternity's values in view. May that be with you every day as you live in the light of eternity and the day you'll stand before Almighty God. Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth. It's not very big, is it, a handbreadth? Mine age is of nothing before thee. Verily, every man is, at best, it is altogether vanity, Selah. We're just to pause there and think about what the Word of God has just said to us now. My days are like a handbreadth. My age is nothing before God. And at our best state, we're vanity, altogether vanity, says the psalmist. Surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the foolish. I was dumb. I opened not my mouth, because thou didst it. Amen. May God bless the reading of his word to all of our hearts. And as we come in a moment or two to pray, we are remembering those suffering with COVID-19, especially in our own congregation. We are praying for divine intervention in these days and remembering, of course, the National Health Service. We are remembering the family, the McKelvey family, Thomas McKelvey and his daughter Grace, who were involved in a very serious car accident. Thomas is in ICU. He has multiple fractures. He has 10 broken ribs on one side, 7 fractured ribs on the other side. He has 3 fractures in his back. He is very ill, and surgery needs to be done in the incoming week. Do remember this man in prayer. And of course, our thoughts are very much with the Cairns family in their time of grief and with all who mourn the passing of Dr. Cairns at this time. As we come to pray, we do on this Remembrance Sunday want to pause for a moment or two, have a minute's silence to remember those who gave their lives that we might have the freedoms that we enjoy in this land, both the civil and the religious freedoms that are ours. So we take this minute, please, to just bow together before the presence of God and acknowledge these things and thank God for those who gave their lives that we might enjoy the freedoms of today. They shall not grow old as we who are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them. Almighty God and gracious Heavenly Father, on this difficult day, on this sad occasion, we come to the house of God to worship Thee. We would love to have had the congregation here. We even feel in our hearts that need to be together in this sad time. But Lord, we are apart today, and though apart, we thank Thee that we are together in the Lord, and we are met in worship, sitting in homes, other places perhaps, and hear this preacher in the pulpit, and Paul in the media center, and we're here to collectively bring ourselves before the Lord, and we do so in Jesus' name. We thank Thee that our God is on the throne, and He brings to pass whatsoever He pleases. He rules in the affairs of men. He is sovereign in the nations of the world, and in a very personal way, He works out His plan in our lives according to His own divine purpose. Lord, You know the heaviness of our hearts as we mourn the passing of Dr. Alan Cairns. We praise Thee for him. We thank Thee for the privilege of getting to know him. We thank Thee for all that he was as a husband to our sister, Mrs. Cairns, as a father to Frank and to Whitney, and a grandfather to their children. We thank Thee for all that he was as a brother, and we think of Betty today. We thank Thee for all that he was as a friend to this congregation in Ballymoney and to the congregation in Greenville, where he labored for so many years. We thank Thee for all that he was as a colleague in the ministry of divine truth. And we think of those who have known him the longest and have been closest to him during his life. And we know something of the heavy hearts that they have today, standing somewhere in the shadow. Thank God we'll find Jesus, for he is the one who cares and understands. We pray indeed that Jesus himself will draw near and comfort those that mourn today. Be the portion of the widow. Be the portion of the fatherless. Be the portion of all who are going through sadness and grief in their hearts because of his passing. We thank thee that God ruled in the affairs of Dr. Cairns. And though it was our desire that he would remain, and you know that, Lord, it was our earnest prayer that he might be healed and recover. You know that too. Yet God, in his infinite, eternal wisdom, was pleased to call him home on Thursday morning and to bring him to himself. Father, we thank thee for the knowledge that we have to his whereabouts. We're glad to know it is well with him, more well than it has ever been. For he's now in heaven, in the presence of the King, and he has seen the Lord, whom he loved and served so faithfully here upon the earth. We thank thee, Lord, for the promises of your word. And we've been reading some of those promises already today in daily light, where we are reminded that our God will swallow up death in victory, and that he with his own divine hand will wipe away tears from off their faces. Lord, we look to thee even in these promises today. And we thank thee for Spurgeon's checkbook of faith that has already been a source of comfort to Mrs. Cairns, where Spurgeon took the text, "My grace is sufficient for thee." And Lord, we plead that today, as that grace of God was sufficient for the great apostle Paul in his day, in a time of need, may that same unfailing grace be sufficient for your grieving people today. May Mrs. Cairns and Frank and Whitney and their children and Betty and the wider family and the dear colleagues of Dr. Cairns be supported by the Lord and uplifted and helped. We pray that even through the home calling of your servant, that others will be led to faith in Christ, especially those under whose ministry he sat and heard the faithful gospel being proclaimed to them. What a seal upon his home calling if that was to happen. And so, Lord, we leave this matter with thee. Lord, work out your own divine purposes in everything. We do remember the situation in our country. We remember the people who are suffering today with COVID-19. We think especially of those that we know and love, connected to our church, members of our church, families in our church, young and old. And Lord, in simple faith, we hand them over to the Lord today, that thou will be pleased to help them in their suffering and bring them to full recovery. We thank thee for many who are recovering, and Lord, we pray that thou will continue to keep your gracious hand upon them. And remember the staff of our National Health Service, doctors and nurses and others who are dealing with this virus on a daily basis. Continue to protect them and keep them safe and hedge them around with your love and bless them in the work that they do. We thank thee for that work that they do every day. We pause also to remember those who have given their lives for our freedoms, that we might meet in public worship. We thank thee, Lord, for those who laid down their lives in the two world wars and in the recent troubles of Northern Ireland. Deliver us, O God, from tyranny. We pray that you will keep the liberties that we enjoy open to us, that we might have these freedoms of worshiping God the way we do. We pray that you will continue with us this Sabbath. Bless the congregation wherever they are, whatever their needs might be. O God, we look to thee. Pray for our brother David McCauley as he ministers the word tonight in this house, that you will bless him and fill him with God the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. We take this moment to bid you welcome. You're listening in today on sermon audio and on Facebook for obvious reasons. It is sad to see the empty church again. God willing, it'll just be for a little while, and then the people of God will be back where we ought to be in the purpose of God. We continue online this evening. David McCauley coming to preach tonight at 7 o'clock. Do remember our youth challenge is postponed in these days when the church is closed to the public. Thursday night's prayer meeting and Bible study will take place online at 8 o'clock. Friday night's youth fellowship will be on Zoom at 8 o'clock. Young people, you are to read Genesis 14 through to 17 for the quiz. And the subject, who is Jesus, is being dealt with these Friday nights. And we come to his offices this Friday. Jonathan Story will bring the message to the youth. This coming Friday night will also be our presbytery meeting at 8 o'clock. And this will be conducted by Zoom. So elders, you'll receive a notification of that and the link that will bring you into that meeting. The Bible class, 10:45 on Zoom, next Sabbath day. Worship services, 12 noon and 7. The details will be announced to you. I'll not be preaching for about a week or so. I hope to take just a little time off in these days. We haven't really had holidays this year, but we do feel the need of a little break at this time, and I know that you understand this. Thank you for your tithes, your offerings, your building fund, your contributions to Let the Bible Speak, your missionary covenant giving, and your school covenant, and all your giving to God's house. That can continue through the bank if you can do that, or send it in. Want to acknowledge gifts that we have received. We acknowledge a gift to Simon and Hannah Snodgrass going out with CEF to Scotland of £50. The Nepal Car Appeal, £50. And a missionary gift of £300. You can't get these calendars, but they will be available to you when you return. Let the Bible Speak for 2021. And we continue in prayer for the work of God in all its aspects and for the sick and the needy of the congregation. Please uplift them at the throne of grace in prayer. Now we come to our second hymn. We're not singing or listening to It's Not an Easy Road, but we are returning to the Psalm 34, so appropriate for us today as we bless God at all times. I'll stand to see. Thank you. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Philippians. Philippians in the chapter 2. And we're going to read some verses at the conclusion of this chapter from verse 25. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 25. Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all, and was full of heaviness, because that ye heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again, ye may rejoice, that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. We trust that God will bless the reading of his own divine and infallible word to every heart. And I want to speak on the man that these verses highlight to us, the man who goes by the name of Epaphroditus. I'm going to bow in prayer and ask for wisdom and help. Almighty God and gracious Father, in the all-precious and lovely name of thy dear Son, we draw again to your throne of grace and mercy. The need is tremendous just now as we approach your word. In the light of all that has happened in these weeks, and especially over the past few days, we come here with a heavy heart. But we come seeking a word from God, a word that is in season, a word that will be helpful, a word that will strengthen and encourage. And we cast ourselves now upon your mercy, and we pray that you will bring to pass your holy will in all of our lives. Do that with us as thou wilt. Speak to our hearts right now. And to this end, give the preacher the wisdom, the help, the power, and the grace that he needs to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ and his word today. Fill me now with God the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' precious name, I pray. Amen. During the 3 weeks of hospitalization, when Dr. Alan Kearns was so ill, many a time the name Epaphroditus came to my mind. He was a very dear friend and colleague of the Apostle Paul in the ministry of the gospel. And this dear man, Epaphroditus, took seriously ill. Naturally, Paul didn't want him to die, rather that he would remain and continue on this earth as his friend, co-laborer, and encourager. If Epaphroditus died, Paul said it would be sorrow upon sorrow. In other words, it would be a massive blow. It would be a heart-rending experience. Paul just didn't want his friend to die. On this occasion, God was so gracious and merciful to raise him up from his bed of sickness and spare his life and thus spare Paul the pain of parting if his dear friend had been taken. I thought to myself, this might be so with our brother Alan Kearns, that he might be this Epaphroditus to me, that God would be pleased to spare him so that we would not have sorrow upon sorrow. How we pray, first thing in the morning, last thing at night, at every mealtime, often through the still hours of the night, Lord, spare him, Lord, heal him, Lord, help him to recover. Don't let Alan Kearns die. Most of you know what happened over the next 3 weeks, or the past 3 weeks. From the moment he went into accident and emergency and was diagnosed with severe pneumonia and COVID-19, You know how he was moved from the medical ward to the intensive care unit. You know some of the intervention that he received, the medicines, the machinery, and eventually the ventilator on Saturday, the 24th of October. Through the whole process, we hoped against hope. We tried to stay strong. We endeavored to hold to the faith and to plead the promises of God. Even that Saturday, Daily Light's verse for the day was, "With God all things are possible," from Matthew 19 and verse 26. And the readings in Daily Light that morning were also very encouraging, speaking of God's loving kindness and mercy and exhorting us to hope in God. I never doubted for one moment these characteristics of God. I know him to be kind and merciful. I know that this was so towards Alan Cairns as he lay so seriously ill, so critically ill in hospital. God's kindness and mercy was upon him. And I know that this was so for Mrs. Cairns, bearing her up every day in the midst of this dark trial. And I know that this was so for Frank and Whitney, removed by thousands of miles across the Atlantic Ocean, that the Lord was there and his loving kindness was upon them too, and they experienced his mercy. I know that this was so for his dear sister down in Belfast, Betty, and it was so for his many, many friends scattered throughout the world. And certainly we sought by divine grace to hope in God. What else could we do? Where else could we turn? That night, we sent out a call to prayer. This was to take place the next morning at 8 o'clock at the early season of prayer. Over 50 people attended. Many people participated in prayer, including one young man, one of the recent converts in the work here. I found it difficult later on to preach that morning, but the Lord helped us through. And so we continued in prayer, waiting, hoping, expecting. Most days the news was no change. We even encouraged ourselves in that. No change is better than decline. But he wasn't getting any better. And then the dreaded phone call came on Thursday, when the doctor from the intensive care unit rang our sister, Mrs. Cairns, to speak of the decline of her husband and how low he was and how near death he was, and that he would die that day and probably very soon. My Epaphroditus was not going to live. His sickness unto death was not going to be cured. And I was going to endure sorrow upon sorrow, and everyone else likewise who loved him, especially his wife and his family. Yet in the midst of it all, our faith is still pinned in a gracious, loving, merciful, just, holy, unerring God who doeth all things well. As Epaphroditus has been much in my mind in these days, I want to speak about him today. I know that there are some lovely parallels here, despite the fact that our dear brother did not survive like Epaphroditus did. But we look to God for blessing now. We look to the Lord for wisdom and guidance and a word in season for our congregation, because that's what we need. And a word of encouragement for our dear sister, Mrs. Cairns, and for her family. I want you to notice, first of all, the description of Epaphroditus. We look here at verse 25. Paul says, "I sent to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier." Three things here that the apostle mentions. He says he is my brother, he is my companion, and he is my fellow soldier. Paul gave these suitable titles to Epaphroditus, indicating that he was a very valued friend in the work of the ministry. Every word is chosen carefully. Every description speaks well of this dear man of God. Brother. Brother speaks of relationship. And that is so in human terms within the family context. It is so in the Christian family. And of course, that's the context here in the work of the gospel, in the work of the ministry, in the body of Christ. It's an endearing expression. And it seems to be used here in such a way as to define precious relationship. Paul loved this man as his dear brother in Christ. Companion speaks of comradeship. Epaphroditus was a companion in labor, in the work of God. He stood with Paul in the proclamation of the gospel and the preaching of Christ to a dying world. And soldier speaks of hardship. Are we not to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ? Epaphroditus was not afraid of dangers of being a Christian or identifying himself with Paul. He stood with him relentlessly, come what may. In truth, he stood in the firing line. How often in the conflict, the moment a preacher is oppressed, becomes the object of criticism, many Christians fear and they run away and they disown. And that happened to Paul with many others when he mourned over the fact that no one stood with him. But not so with Epaphroditus. He stood shoulder to shoulder with a persecuted preacher, minding not the cost. So Epaphroditus was a dear brother in Christ to the apostle. We will come to see in a few moments how Epaphroditus became sick. But Paul knew that his time to go home was ready. In fact, it is likely that he carried this very epistle, this letter to the church at Philippi, back with him to that congregation. But there was a problem. The church at Philippi had sent Epaphroditus to stay with Paul, to be a helper to him, to minister to his needs. And if he came back home, some might think that he was a quitter, that somehow he had deserted Paul in a time of need. And so Paul gives this wonderful testimony to this dear man of God, to his character and to his work. He is my brother, he is my companion, he is my fellow soldier. And he goes on to say in verse 29, receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness and hold such in reputation. Can we not say of Dr. Kearns that he was our brother, a very dear brother in Christ? We knew this relationship, this friendship. We enjoyed that bond of family love in the body of Christ. Was he not a companion in labor, though not so actively involved in these retirement years in public ministry? And though much in the background there, and that's where he wanted to be, surely we enjoyed sweet fellowship and unwavering support in gospel work. I know that I did. Never was there a man who was so behind the ministry of the gospel in this house. He labored with us. He prayed with us. He came alongside where he could. You know that. I know that. And I think of one of our recent examples, and I'm sure Eamon will not mind me mentioning his name and the whole lead up to his conversion in January. Here was a man, a companion in labor, who came alongside. I witnessed to Eamon. He sat beneath the ministry. Others witnessed to him. Brother Kearns took him under his wing, and every week they met together, and a faithful witness was given. And all this was leading up to the glorious moment when Eamon came to put his faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He was an encourager to our students. I know that. He was an inspiration to the youth of this congregation and all congregations. Always had a word for them when he met them. Despite the fact there was the age gap, Dr. Cairns being 80 and our young people being young, yet there was that identity and that great inspiration. He continued to support God's work at home and abroad. When we think of all that he was involved in, when we think of Let the Bible Speaks ministry, we think of the Youth Council. He was behind the work of the Missionary Council, and I know that I valued his counsel and his guidance, a companion in labor. He was a fellow soldier, not afraid to engage in the battle for truth, in the battle for Christ and the crown rights of Jesus. He was a man who was not afraid to speak his mind, to support that which was right and just before God. He did what was right despite who he offended or what friends he might lose. He was a soldier off the cross, and he fought a good fight. Now here's the kind of a man that you want to recover whenever he's sick, and that's how we felt. The description of Epaphroditus, we see the parallels there to our brother, Mr. Cairns. But secondly, there is the contribution of Epaphroditus. Look again at verse 25. Paul says, he's not only my brother and my companion and my fellow soldier, but your messenger. Notice this little phrase, and he that ministered to my wants. Here is the wonderful encouragement and blessing this man was to Paul. He ministered to his wants. Epaphroditus came to help Paul in a difficult time. When the church at Philippi heard that Paul was in prison, their warm hearts were moved to action. And that's how it ought to be whenever we see our fellow believers in need, whenever we see others who are suffering. If we're the Lord's people at all, surely our hearts will be moved to help. And the hearts of the church at Philippi were moved to help the great apostle. The Philippians sent a gift to the apostle by the hand of Epaphroditus. What they could not do personally because of the distance, they did by sending Epaphroditus to do it for them. And this man not only brought a gift, but he stayed in Rome to minister to Paul. Whatever needs he had, whatever encouragement he required, Epaphroditus was there to perform that task. There is no doubt that Epaphroditus was a courageous man, because anyone offering himself as a personal assistant to a man who was waiting on trial on a capital charge was in danger of being involved in the same charge. Epaphroditus risked his life to help the Apostle Paul. Remember, Paul called him a soldier, and a soldier he was. Dr. Cairns came alongside many an individual. Didn't matter who they were, fellow colleague, a preacher in the work, or an ordinary member of the congregation, and he was there to minister to their needs. He was there to be, as we have mentioned over the past few days, a Barnabas that came alongside to be an encourager, to be an Epaphroditus who came to minister to Paul and his needs. He was especially used by God to encourage preachers through the world. And I know that within the context of our own presbytery. I know that within the context of the North American presbytery. And I know I can also speak on behalf of the Nepal presbytery. In countless other places, we have to say, he would speak at pastors' conferences. He loved to lecture Bible college students and minister to them. You know the encouragement he has been to all of our preachers, all of our missionaries, and not least the ones that belonged to our own church family from the early days. Even when he was not here as the minister, he was a great encouragement. We think of the Reverend John Hannah going out to Spain all those years ago. We think of our sister Pat Mills, who went as a missionary to the Jews. I know that even over there in North America at that time, he was a great encouragement to her. We think of Noreen McAfee going out to Uganda and Armin over to North America. We think of Joshua down to Bangor and Alejandro in recent days to Spain. The last official engagement that Dr. Kearns had was right here, just at the front of the church, when he prayed that closing prayer and committed and commended Alejandro and Vanessa and their children into the hands of God as they went out to preach the gospel in the land of Spain. I think of our present students in the Whitfield College of the Bible. Every one of them can testify to the encouragement that he's been. But this is multiplied through the world. I have seen what our missionary family has said about him. We have a WhatsApp group and they were all weighing in with their comments. Paul says of Epaphroditus that he ministered to my wants. That was Alan Kearns. The contribution, the wonderful contribution that he made. I want you to see, thirdly, the affliction of Epaphroditus. We have it here in verse 27. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death. He was sick nigh unto death. Notice these words. He was gravely ill. The sickness that had crept into his body was no small thing. Epaphroditus didn't have a common cold. He didn't have some bug or bout of vomiting that would clear up in a few days. He was not suffering with some allergy or some other minor thing. No, here is a sickness that threatened to take his life. He was sick nigh unto death. Whatever it was, it was going to kill him. While Epaphroditus was in Rome, he fell ill. We're not told precisely what the nature of this sickness was. Perhaps it was the notorious Roman fever which sometimes swept throughout the city like a scourge and brought about cases that were so critical. And it seems that he caught this illness in the work of God, because the apostle says in verse 30, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death. The very fact that he was sent out by the church, the very fact that he was sent there to the city of Rome to minister to the apostle, it was because of that, his work that he was involved in the work of Christ, that this dear man became ill. My friends, the best of saints can become ill, really sick, developing chronic illnesses from which they might die. We think of the many saints which have developed heart disease, have been struck down with cancer or contracted other maladies like COVID pneumonia. King Hezekiah was one of the most godly kings of Judah. And here's the testimony of the man written by God himself in 2 Kings 18 and verse 3. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. And as you read into the history, you are going to read about a great reformer, a man of reform, a man of faith, a man of steadfastness, a man of fidelity, a man of obedience, a man of prosperity. Look at the summary, the little summary in verse 5 of 2 Kings 18. He trusted in the Lord of Judah, nor any that were before him. And yet, just a couple of pages later, in chapter 20, in verse 1, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And that's when the prophet Isaiah was sent to him with this message: set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. This king became ill. No one can dispute the spiritual credentials of the patriarch Job. Perfect, upright, a God-fearing man who shunned evil, and yet in Job 2 and verse 7, Satan was allowed to afflict his body with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown, completely covered. If you've ever had a boil, it is a loathsome thing, it is a sore thing, just to have one. And here is a man whose entire body was covered in these sore boils, putrefying boils. His condition was so extreme that his wife told him to curse God and die. He even longed for death himself, and it's hard to sink much lower than that. Here's a godly man, the patriarch Job, and he's very sick. Lazarus in the New Testament was a dear friend of Christ. He lived in Bethany with his two sisters, Mary and Martha, and it was a home that Jesus loved to visit. The Lord loved to be there. We've preached on that subject before. I just asked the question in passing: does the Lord love to be in your home? Does he frequent it often? He loves the people that are there. He's pleased with your actions there. He knows that you love the Lord as a family. Well, this is the kind of a home we're speaking about here in Bethany. There was everything about that family in the village of Bethany that made that home attractive to the Son of God when he was here on the earth. And here's how the 11th chapter of John's Gospel begins. Now, a certain man was sick named Lazarus. And when his sister sent for Jesus, it was with this urgent message: Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Oh, the Lord loved this man, but it didn't stop his sickness. Do you see that? And it was a sickness unto death. Sickness did not escape Paul's dear friend, Epaphroditus. Even though he was a dear brother, even though he was a companion in the work, even though he was a fellow soldier, he became gravely ill so that he might die. Doesn't that sound familiar? As we see the progression over 3 weeks with Dr. Kearns in hospital, as those 3 weeks continued, the case of Dr. Kearns became more serious. Nobody goes into ICU unless they're very ill. No one is put on a ventilator unless they're critically ill. And that's where the Lord's servant came to. And so as we think of the affliction of Epaphroditus, we think of the affliction even of the Lord's servant, Dr. Kearns. But there's something more here. I want you to notice the apprehension of Epaphroditus. And we have that in verse 26 of our reading in Philippians chapter 2. For he longed after you all, and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick. Do you see what's explained here? Epaphroditus was concerned that the people back in his home church, back in Philippi, were overly anxious about him because of his sickness. Because of this sickness that was perhaps going to take his life. The news had filtered back to Philippi about the serious condition of this church member, this fellow laborer in the work. And when they heard of his illness and how serious it was, they were worried about him. Oh, you understand that. We know how that feels. They were worried about Dr. Kearns. They were anxious about him, weren't we? When a preacher falls sick, or some other dear Christian, we feel burdened. As a church, we ought to feel burdened. We ought to be concerned for Dr. Kearns, as it was when he was so ill. and for others in the congregation that are suffering in various ways. This has been so
in these COVID-19 days, hasn't it? It was felt keenly in our hearts during the last 3 weeks when Dr. Kearns was brought into hospital. We felt somewhat apprehensive and worried. We can identify with this verse. And I know that Dr. Kearns didn't want the people to be overly anxious, didn't want his wife to be overly anxious, didn't want this preacher to be overly anxious. And I know that the texts that he was sending out were very positive. He wanted to try and encourage us in a time when we were worried at home. And he would speak quite upbeat at times of the treatment that he was giving and his oxygen levels being maintained and so forth. I want you to notice finally the intervention on behalf of Epaphroditus. He indeed was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. God stepped into his life. God, in his mercy, spared his life, the life of Epaphroditus, so that Paul was also spared the additional sorrow. Remember, he spoke about sorrow upon sorrow if anything had happened to his dear friend. We were not to be spared the grief of Dr. Kearns's passing from this world. We prayed for his healing. Often we prayed, night and day. We pleaded the promises of God. We sought to exercise faith by God's grace. But God did not step in and heal him the way that he did with Epaphroditus. Perhaps we will never know why, at least until we reach the better land, where in the presence of God all things will be clear. How we would have been rejoicing today if God had of stepped in the way he did with Epaphroditus. But that was not to be so. This was not the mind of God. And so we humbly submit to divine providence. We acknowledge the sovereignty of God in all things, including this situation. And we say, not my will, but thine be done. One of the hardest things to pray, especially in circumstances like this. Mrs. Cousin, in her beautiful hymn, Emmanuel's Land, or The Sands of Time Are Sinking, speaks of a day when we will praise God for his overruling providence. With mercy and with judgment, my web of time he wove, and always dews of sorrow were lustered with his love. I'll bless the hand that guided. I'll bless the heart that planned. When throned where glory dwelleth, in Emmanuel's land. And so whatever questions we have just now, whatever perplexities of heart we feel, whatever mysteries we don't understand, let's leave it till that day when things will be clear and bright and understandable. When you and I, as the Lord's dear people, go to Emmanuel's land to be with Christ forevermore, to be reunited with those, including Dr. Kearns, who have gone on to that land that is fairer than day. And should any be listening in, and you're a stranger to the grace of God, and you know not the Lord, you've heard of the passing of Dr. Kearns, oh, that you might consider your own latter end, that you might consider where you'll be in the great eternity of God, and that you will flee to Christ, the Christ that Dr. Kearns preached so faithfully to the congregations that he ministered unto, that you would seek the Lord while he may be found and call upon him while he's near. Let's bow together in prayer. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to Thee in our circumstances, in our grief, remembering especially again Mrs. Cairns and Frank and Whitney and their family and Betty and other family members and dear friends and colleagues at this time who mourn the passing of Dr. Cairns. We commit ourselves into Your care, into Your hands. Help us to learn from Your word. We thank Thee for every memory that we have of such a dear brother, of such a companion in labor, of such a fellow soldier with us in the battle for gospel truth. We praise Thee for all that he meant to us. And Lord, You've taken him in Your wisdom to be with Yourself. His work on earth is finished, and he's now with the Lord, which is far better. Remember those that feel the pain of parting and are going through sorrow today. Minister in a very special way to their needs. Spread Thy covering wings around us till all our wanderings cease. And at our Father's loved abode, may each soul arrive in peace through a saving knowledge and interest in the Redeemer's blood. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Once again, we thank You for worshiping with us here at Hebron. May the Lord go with you today and bless you and bless His word to your heart. And may you keep the Cairns family very much in your prayers, that God will comfort them and bless them in their time of need. Amen. Thank you.